afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine. Your host, James J. here. Thanks for joining us. We're joined right now by one of our favorite people to talk to, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension, Marathon County and Wood Counties. We're going to talk a little bit about caring for your plants in dry conditions today. Janelle, how you doing?
You know, not bad. I got a lot of phone calls coming into the extension office these days, tons and tons of phone calls, and a lot of them have been centered on the topic that we're going to talk about today. So I thought, you know, when I saw that it was my time to come visit you, I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to talk about.
One of the when I'm telling people about Midday Magazine and I'm selling it to them or I'm encouraging them to check it out, one of my favorite things to tell them is all the stuff that I've learned with the extension team. Rachel learned me something, you know, about quite a bit about things. I've learned a lot from Matt and Jackie and all of you guys. All of them are amazing. I don't think I've learned more from anybody than you, Janelle. Like the things that I've been able to incorporate into my day to day, I'm not even a gardener. I don't really do a ton of outdoor stuff really necessarily, but I've been able to incorporate so many things, and the stuff that my parents have been able to do has been great too. My dad has really enjoyed these interviews. My mom is a big plant person, so I know she's going to be glued to every second of this today. I just wanted to thank you for all that. I don't think you could know how many people you help with this information, and that's pretty cool.
You know, one of the things I really love about gardening is how it crosses age groups, it crosses cultures. You know, there's something innate in human beings to, even if you don't want to actively participate in the act of nurturing a plant and having it grow, just being around plants makes us feel better. And, you know, if there's anything I can do to encourage people to, I'd love to encourage people to experiment with gardening. But if at the very least, just taking a moment and really appreciating the beauty and the nature around us, really taking the time to identifying, you know, particularly what's blooming right now or what's going on with the insect world. It really helps us, I think, in more ways than just, you know, the, oh, I'm going to get tomatoes.
yeah. I love that voice. You need to bring that in more often. I actually have a perfect segue into this because the things I was talking about there, I have been thinking about, I've never had a plant. I've never had my own plant. I've helped my mom take care of hers, but, you know, it's something I want to do. But again, I've never taken care of a plant before. So, you know, I wanted to do something that I wouldn't kill the plant. I wanted something that was strong. And I like succulents a lot. So I kind of went to one of our local nurseries here, Reeves, to check out the succulents. But I came across this guy, a woolly thyme.
Oh,
and I don't know how much, Janelle, you've seen my hair down or anything, but I saw a kin. I saw kin in this plant. I'm like, oh, this is me as a plant. This is wonderful. And then I read up on them a little bit, and they're pretty strong. They're pretty durable. They don't need a ton of sunlight. Certainly, some, but it seemed like the perfect plant for me. And I didn't realize that I could have so much love for a plant. I've had this thing for like 2 weeks, and I'm checking it every hour practically. You would think it was a kid. Like I'm asking if it needs a snack, if it wants nap time. do you like the cartoons on the TV? I love this plant. I thank you. I thank you, the team at Extension, but especially you, really got me into the idea of this, and I'm really enjoying it. This little guy is an actual friend to me now. I talk to him. It's a lot of fun.
You know, one of the things that I really appreciated about gardening is it's a hobby that you will never fully master. Mm-hmm. I work with PhDs, but they are experts in a very specific topic, insects, diseases, you know, the soils, things like that. Mm-hmm. You'll never know everything there is to know about gardening. And that, I think, makes it exciting. And the variables are constantly changing, you know? So I absolutely adore gardening in that it really has ways to teach us. There's so many metaphors for life in gardening.
Yes.
And there's a lot to just keep us connected and maybe even get us closer to our own humanity.
Agreed.
I might be waxing philosophical here.
Ooh,
but
I'm with you on all that. I'm with you on all of that. And I guarantee that other gardeners out there are nodding their head. Like, yeah, agreeing with every bit of that. One of the things that I liked about the woolly thyme was that I worry about overwatering plants or something, you know, along those lines. And they were telling me, and Reeves are great, and One Rose, all of our local teams out here are great. They were telling me that, well, you don't have to, you can just check the soil and see, and it doesn't need a ton of water. So I see my guy, and he's a little like kind of down, doesn't the blend, the, you know, the leaves, everything going kind of downward and stuff. I put him under the sink. And then I put him back, and I come by like maybe 5-10 minutes later or whatever. Yeah, he's all jumped up. He's all out and open and everything. And I really appreciate that it's, for me, easy to tell, hey, he needs water. He's not lively like he usually is and all this. And so I that little bit there helps me. But I imagine that when it comes to keeping our plants healthy and worrying about dryness, there's a lot more to it. So there's a lot of details to this. I want to move out of the way, let you gotta talk about this.
So getting back to, you know, the reason why I thought about talking about this topic in particular is, you know, it is very dry, very, very dry. It's been a long time since we've seen rain. Some of us, depending on where you are in the county, might have seen some rain. What was that, Tuesday morning?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a lot, and it was only that one little spell. So things are pretty dry out there, and I'm getting lots and lots of phone calls with people being really concerned, people thinking that they're noticing plant stress from the dryness, and they're not quite sure what's going on. You know, they're thinking of potentially disease issues, or they're seeing secondary diseases and thinking that that's the cause of some of the problems that are happening, when really right now, at least the majority of the phone calls I'm getting are really due to that dryness. So
is that, I'm sorry to interrupt,
yeah,
is that dryness, is that normal for this time of year?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not, and it's going across the state. Actually, I go on a phone call with county-based educators across the entire state once a week, and we've been all talking about, you know, it's not just here that the lawns are starting to go dormant. Lawns are going dormant all the way up in Iron County and all the way down in Rock County, so all stretches
literally,
of the state.
Yeah.
There's some places that aren't quite so bad, but it's, and some places are much, much worse. So, and it doesn't look like, you know, we're gonna have a break anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be good to prepare people. I want to start off by talking about those trees and shrubs, the woody ornamentals. With them, I've gotten a lot of phone calls, both in particular with maple trees having some anthracnose on them. That's going to be some like brown and black spotting on the leaves. That was due to perfect conditions this spring. If you've got some anthracnose on your trees, I would say for the most part, don't worry about that. But what also is happening is trees are dropping their leaves. And so people are seeing this black spotting on their leaves and thinking that that's the reason why the trees are dropping their leaves.
Yeah.
That's not actually the case. The anthracnose probably isn't helping things, but it's not the source for why the trees are dropping their leaves.
Interesting.
If you've got trees that are dropping their leaves, I really would strongly recommend giving them a long drink of water at least once a week. And you're going to be doing that. You wanted to soak down at least an inch all along the drip line. And the drip line is going to be that space. Imagine if you could draw a straight line from the branches down to the ground. You want that entire area to be saturated about an inch deep when you give it that long drink of water. Slow, you just take the hose out to the tree and then put the water on a slow drip and let it go for a while. A couple other things that you want to keep in mind. Mulch is your friend and weeds aren't.
Yeah.
So the reason why weeds are going to be really problematic around our shrubs and our trees is weeds are competing for that moisture in the soil, right? And especially if we're dry right now, we don't want those weeds to take any of that excess moisture. Adding a nice 3 or 4 inch layer of mulch around your trees, that's going to help suppress those weeds. It's going to help increase that soil moisture. And it also, depending on what you're using, it could also reduce the temperature in the soil right around the tree.
Wow.
Secondary to that, if the temperature is a little bit cooler, you're going to have a little bit less soil moisture evaporation.
Hmm.
So mulch, mulch, mulch.
Yeah. You wouldn't know this, but Janelle, I am a gigantic donut fan. I love donuts. And I've never heard of a mulch donut. This sounds amazing. can you tell me about that?
It's not going to be as tasty
no?
as you think.
I got my hopes up. I should have read a little more about it.
So when you are mulching your trees really strongly, and your shrubs too, anything that's woody, you want to make sure that you're keeping the mulch a good maybe 6 inches away from the stem or the base of the tree.
Okay.
What we don't like to see is what we call mulch volcanoes, when you're taking the mulch and you've got it stacked all the way up against the base of the tree.
Yeah.
You want to do, instead of that volcano look, go with the donut look. You want to have it, the mulch around the tree, but you want to pull it away from the base of the tree, so you end up with basically a donut shape.
Yeah, yeah, and we all know donuts are way better than volcanoes anyway. Way better.
Way better.
Way better. What about fertilizer?
Now's not a good time to fertilize.
Not a good time. No,
so fertilizer, you know, chemically speaking, it's they call it a salt. So a chemical term would be a salt. And just like table salt, if you add some fertilizer right now, you're going to be pulling excess moisture. Right now, we're trying to do everything we can to reduce that stress on the trees and try to give them as much moisture as possible.
I know how eager people are to get outdoors and do activities and do things. And I think sometimes we end up, oh, those trees, those plants, I can trim them now. I can do a little of that. Is this a good time to be pruning or transplanting plants?
Pruning wouldn't be a great, unless you've got a, you've got some sort of special condition.
Mm.
Pruning is not good right now for lots of different reasons. Number one, we generally recommend people to prune any of their woodies in around March, late winter. And that's because of disease and insect problems, okay? The other reason right now would be a horrible time, though, is because for the plant to recover, it's going to use some moisture. And again, right now we're trying to do everything we can to reduce the stress on the plant. We don't want to do anything that's going to cause it to require it to use some of its moisture. Transplanting, man, you know, so plants don't have feet. They're not used to moving from one spot to another.
Yeah.
Just like humans, change is tough on plants. And there's going to be, if you're transplanting a plant, there's going to be a thing called transplant shock. Even on the most beautiful, cool, cloudy days, the plant's still going to have to overcome some transplant shock. Now, these conditions, with it being incredibly warm and dry, you're just going to make it a very, very stressful time. I would hold off, if you've got some plants in nursery buckets, I'd hold off a little bit before I would consider transplanting them.
Yeah.
Right now, this is like basically the same as transplanting in the middle of summer.
Yeah. How about flowering annuals and veggies? We know a lot of people are excited about having those this summer and everything. What about taking care of them?
So, you know, with your vegetable gardens, again, and even your annual beds, really goes back to utilizing that mulch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to get rid of any weeds in the area that are going to be competing for that moisture. Straw makes a really nice mulch in your annual in your vegetable bed. So that's what I would look towards for a mulch. You could put that in pretty thick, you know, about 3 inches or so. And then when we're thinking about our containers, if you've got vegetables or annuals in containers, you're probably watering them at least once a day, depending on the size of the container, maybe even twice a day. Raised beds are going to need watering at least once a day. However, if you've got a raised bed that's a little bit on the shallow side, say about 6 inches deep, you're gonna need to be watering that maybe even as much as twice per day.
Good to know. Time periods to water, is there a better time than others?
You know, I recommend in the morning. And that would be even if we weren't in droughty conditions. I'd recommend inside the morning, just because any time that you water a plant. Oh, and let me go back to this too. You also want to, whenever possible, water the roots, not the leaves. Mm. Now, I know this seems counterintuitive, because what Mother Nature does, she just dumps the rain from the sky and the leaves and everything get good and wet. Mm. The difference is we have a real particular goal in mind. We're either trying to grow flowers, or we're trying to grow some sort of vegetable, right? And we are placing value on the yield, you know, whether it's just the flowers or whatever.
Yeah.
Mother Nature, on the other hand, she doesn't care about whether or not you get tomatoes, right? Mm-hmm. She values fungus and fungal diseases just as much as she values your pretty tomatoes. So we're going to do things a little bit different than Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. If we were to get the leaves all good and wet, we're increasing the chances for fungal diseases. And then, you know, chances are with diseases, especially fungal diseases, fungicides are not really going to help you out once you've got that disease. So the best bet's going to be doing everything you can to avoid getting the diseases, and that starts with watering the roots and not the leaves. So when we're watering, we want to make sure, like you had asked, watering inside the morning time, that also kind of gets to the same idea. We want to avoid the leaves being wet as long as possible. So if you do end up splashing a little bit, if the plant has the entire day to dry out, it's not going to be so bad as if you water in the evening. When those cooler temperatures come along, it's not going to dry out as fast as it would have if you would have watered in the morning.
That makes a lot of sense. How about herbaceous perennials? And how badly did I say that word? You can be honest. How badly did I murder? I'm doing it on purpose. You know, just jumping in and everything.
I appreciate that.
But
I really appreciate that, and I like that pronunciation. Although the way that I would have pronounced it would have been herbaceous.
The correct way, yes. It makes a lot more sense. We'll go with your way. I like it. I had to Italian it up as the day goes on. I do love talking perennials. One of the coolest things that I learned from you is what a perennial is. I genuinely did not know that this was even a thing before you and I started talking. My mom has been really good about educating me about plants, but she's also been educating me about a lot of other things in my life. Some stuff got left by the wayside a little bit. Perennials and the idea of this is just so amazing to me. And I understand how normal it is for most people out there and everything, but the idea of something being dormant and coming back, like all this is just really interesting to me about perennials. So getting into this a little bit, what are keeping our perennials from getting overly dry or anything? What are some of the tips we can give people for this?
So again, mulch is your friend. Mm-hmm. Definitely would recommend making sure those perennial beds are nicely mulched. So with perennial beds, you could use, you know, like chipped wood. Chipped wood works really nicely. I don't recommend chipped wood in a vegetable garden, and that's because as the chipped wood degrades over time, it's going to pull out some of that nitrogen out of your vegetable garden. It does it in the perennial garden too, but in the vegetable garden, the problem is just going to be a little bit too much. In perennial beds, in fact, at home in my perennial beds, I use wood a lot in actually pretty much completely. Although there's other things you could use. You could use compost. You could use leaf mold. You could use straw. You know, all those other options are great too. Along with making sure you've got that mulch in there, and that's going to help, again, reduce the soil evaporation, you may want to consider investing in soaker hoses. Mm. So these are hoses that have a lot of holes inside of them. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they will pour water out at a very low pressure, you're just going to let them sit for like maybe an hour at a time and let the water slowly drain in next to your plants. You put them a couple inches away from the crowns of your plants and you just kind of snake it along in your perennial bed. I really like them. They make it a little bit easier and make it better for you to make sure that you're getting the ground truly saturated at an inch.
They really do the job that you're needing them to do.
Yep.
That's it's a very helpful tip. I do appreciate that. Janelle, I wanted to put our focus, if you don't mind, into lawns now and how to deal with the dry lawn.
You know, I'm getting a lot of questions regarding the lawns going dormant, and so I'm glad that you asked about this. It's not a bad idea to let your lawn go dormant once it starts to get dry like this. In fact, we recommend doing that until we hit about an 8-week mark. Once we get to 8 weeks, now you're going to have lasting damage to your lawns. So we've got a little bit of time yet before you do need to start irrigating your lawn. Otherwise, like I said, you're going to have permanent damage. And when it comes to irrigating your lawn, if we, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, we don't need to, but if we do, if it does come to that point, then you're going to want to water your lawn about once a week, and you want to give it about an, you want the soil to be saturated about an inch deep. And just like with everything else, water early in the morning, because that's going to help you help reduce any disease issues. I did have a phone call this week, and there was a gentleman that noticed the about 10 days prior to when he called, he said that the lawn was starting to go dormant, and so he went ahead. He's got a sprinkler system, and he went ahead and turned on the sprinkler system. And it had been on for about 10 days, and he was still seeing some it didn't seem like the lawn was recovering. And after 10 days, it should recover. Yeah. It was a big section of the lawn that wasn't, while the rest of it was. And that led me doing a little bit of digging. And I found cinch bugs can actually become a problem when the conditions are dry like this. And so, and they will appear to be just like the lawn is going dormant, except for when the rains return, the browning is still there. We've got a really nice fact sheet that I'll show you, explain to you how to diagnose whether or not is this cinch bugs. Really, it comes down to you're going to take a coffee can. You're going to take the ends off of both ends of the coffee can. You're going to go in the transition zone, bury that coffee can down a little bit of the way, and then fill it up with water. If there's cinch bugs in there, they're going to float. You're going to do that a couple of times to see if, you know, there are cinch bugs, but that's an easy way to diagnose whether or not that's the problem. And then if that is the problem, we've got control methods available on that fact sheet. So it's just something to, for people to kind of keep an eye out for.
I imagine that is one of the more helpful things you have discussed today. I know there are people like my father out there that their lawn is their world. You know, I wonder some days if he loves that lawn more than me. He really cares about that lawn. And it can be so frustrating with those dry spots. You feel like you're doing everything right. I'm watering it. What else could it be? I honestly, and I, growing up with my father, I know quite a bit about lawns and everything. I feel like I do, because I have not heard about cinch bugs very often, especially in this circumstance. I think that's really helpful.
You know, they're going to become a problem when it becomes very, very dry and very, very warm. So just haven't gotten a confirmation yet if that was that gentleman's issue, but it potentially could be in it kind of at least got on my radar as far as, you know, something else for us to be thinking about.
Fertilizer always comes up in our conversations, and we've talked about it quite a bit in other way, in many different ways. But what about fertilizing long grasses right now?
I would stay away from it. It's going to end up drying out your lawn. Also, you really run into a chance of burning the roots of your grass, of your lawn. So I would stay away from the fertilizer. You know, you could, depending on how much maintenance you put into your into your lawn, you could potentially do a fertilizer application around the 4th of July. If it happens to be that the rains have come back at that point, if it's still dry, then don't fertilize. The most important time to fertilize your lawn is going to be in September. That's if you're going to fertilize at all and you only want to do it once, it's that September fertilization that's important.
And I think that last part you said there, too, if you're going to do it at all. I think a lot, there's a lot of people still out there that feel like you have to do these things, that this is just lawn maintenance 101 or something, and that's just not the case.
I think it depends on what your expectations are out of your lawn. So I typically don't use fertilizers in my lawn. I also have a lot of clover, which actually the clover benefits my lawn by fixing nitrogen. So it's giving them and now a little bit of a natural fertilizer. I also have a pretty sparse, I don't have a monoculture. I definitely have some grass growing, but I also have plantain, clover, I've got some dandelions. I have a beautiful crop of creeping Jenny, or not creeping Jenny, but creeping Charlie. So my main issue is just to have something green to keep the dog from bringing in dirt. I'm not as concerned about whether or not it's a monoculture, but if that, you know, if your expectation is to have a very thick green lawn, then you're going to need to fertilize at least once a year, probably more like two or three applications.
How about herbicides? What about spraying those?
Yeah, I'd be careful. Anytime the temperatures are above 80 degrees, the herbicides have its potential to become, they become volatile, and the particle sizes are such that herbicide drift becomes a real problem.
So I've heard of that, yeah.
I would avoid using herbicides right now if possible.
They sound a little like a gremlin, like mogwais. Like, you can't get them wet. Don't get them wet. It's not a good idea.
You know,
they turn into gremlins.
I use the gremlin analogy a lot.
Thank you. I was going out on a limb on that one. I almost edited it out. we did want to leave a little time, Meredith. Janelle, to get into some other things. You had some a call in that you wanted to touch on and such.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to do a shout out and let people know if you've got any diagnostic questions, inquiries, you know, of what the heck is going on with my plant, what is my plant, you can always reach out to the Extension office. The phone number is 715-421-8440, and just let them know that you got a gardening question, and they will, or leave a message. If they're on the phone, leave a message, and they'll forward that message over to me.
I imagine, Janelle, that when it comes to questions that you get, even if it's something you're not 100% on, you're just as excited as the caller to find out the information. I know how passionate you are about this.
Oh, you know, one of the coolest parts about my job is I'm just one person and a team of people, and many of them are much, much more qualified than I am, and they're brilliant in what they do. And so if I don't know the answer to something, send in a picture of a bug and I'm not sure, I send it to our state entomologist and he lets me know. Same thing with diseases or plant ID. I'm part of a big team. So yeah, you're not just relying on my brain.
Well, and it's also pretty cool to be a part of this process, I imagine. Not only learning this stuff, but going full circle here to where we started. One of the things that we love about gardening, you love about gardening, is you're always learning, you're always growing, and always get better at it and find out more.
Absolutely.
We definitely found out a lot more today. Thank you so much for the time, Janelle.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.